Hi, everyone. It's Ryan Hoover, your host of Product Hunt Radio, where I'm joined by the founders, investors, and makers that are shaping the future of tech. Today's episode includes two expert storytellers who happen to be also good friends, Carmel Diamichis, an editor, aka WordWiz, at Figma, which is a startup that's reinventing how people design. Just last week, they announced a $40 million fundraise led by Sequoia. Prior to joining Figma, Carmel was at Pando. That's actually where I first met her. She was the first journalist to write about Product Hunt in the early days. Later on, she went to write at GigaOM and Recode as well. Camille Ricketts is another friend and expert storyteller. She recently joined Notion, a hot startup that's building an all-in-one workspace for your notes, docs, and to-dos. Prior to joining Notion, she spent nearly 5 years at First Round, starting and leading their content marketing efforts. You probably read some of her First Round review articles. They're excellent. I highly recommend them. Earlier in her career, she was at the Wall Street Journal, VentureBeat, Tesla, Kiva, and the White House. On the podcast, we talk about how founders can tell a strong story to the press and the public, the importance of taking time between jobs to find the right role, and we also chat about the weird world of TikTok. Again, I know. But before I jump in, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Do you remember a time when you started working for yourself? It was certainly no small feat, and you've been insanely busy ever since. Our friends at FreshBooks are here to make things easier for freelancers like you. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed to save you time and all those terrible administrative tasks. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and get paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Also, file expenses with ease to keep them perfectly organized for that lovely tax time. Go to freshbooks.com/producthunt and enter Product Hunt Radio in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. The sexual wellness space is booming, but most innovation and investment has been focused on the body rather than the brain. Dipsy is changing that by taking a mind-first approach to female sexuality with an app for short, sexy audio stories, which makes sense considering 90% of women use mental framing to get turned on. The bite-sized audio stories are perfect for solo or couples, listening to set the mood, spark your imagination, and start intimate conversation. Head to dipsystories.com/producthunt, that's D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/producthunt, to download the iOS app. The first few stories are free. Hello, everybody. I'm here with two friends of mine, Camille and Carmel. Two C's, how's it going?
I just realized that we're two C's. I don't think I knew how to close Camille and Carmel. Shit.
It's true. It's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Twinsies.
Yeah. I think you two would also make a good podcast host, like if you two did a podcast together.
It would go in some interesting directions.
I know. There were conversations prior to recording that we can't talk about on the mic. Camille, tell me about yourself. Like, what's your background? I've known you since early First Round review days, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. So yeah, about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I started working at First Round Capital and developing a blog called First Round Review, which turned into kind of a home for a lot of different people's stories and how it is that they figured out what it is that they're doing and how they've been successful at various things. And then last
year, one of the most respected blogs in the tech industry. Mm-hmm. Just gonna plug nice Camille for a sec. People talk to me about it all the time and basically are like, be more like Camille. I'm like, I know.
Oh, come on.
I know. I tell you this. You don't seem to believe me.
The mutual fandom is already starting here. I took the last year off just to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. I knew I still wanted to do storytelling in some respect. And now I've landed at a company called Notion that people are catching on to. It does a lot of like productivity, task management, team management, personal note taking. It's just a beautiful brand and I'm excited to tell their stories now.
Nice. You're a month in, is that right?
About a month in, yeah. And this is the first time I've ever been at a tiny company and the first time that I'm like the marketing person as opposed to like the person who writes things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes.
I assume they also make you write things.
There's some writing involved. Yes.
Yes. What was the word you used to describe yourself? The keeper of words?
Keeper of the words.
Sounds like a nice Harry Potter role or something.
Doesn't it sound like wizard-like?
Yes. Like you're the keeper of Quidditch, but you're the keeper of the words. It's even better.
Oh, for sure. You're a keeper of words. Tell us about you.
My name is Carmel. I also used to be a reporter back in the day, which is how I met both of these lovely humans. And I now work at a company called Figma, doing a role very similar to what Camille does at Notion. It's a design tool that runs in the cloud. Google Docs meets design, essentially. And We're taking over.
You know, both Notion and Figma are like good examples of like the future of you would have a better, the keeper of the words would have better words to describe it. But in my mind, it's sort of a future of online collaboration for teams in different ways. Like Figma more design focused, Notion more, how would you say, like, I guess words focused or
definitely
like around
like
text?
Documents, task management, like that kind of thing for sure. Yeah databases.
And ironically, both of our companies are obsessed with each other. Like Notion was built from its earliest days when it was two people in Figma. And Figma has recently, Notion just spread like wildfire inside and all the teams are using it.
I feel like there is just like a sympathetic, like those folks over there sort of vibe at both places. Yeah.
And there's also like when I talked to Ivan and came over because I'm writing a profile about
Ivan, the CEO.
Ivan, the CEO of Notion. I realized that there's also this similar trajectory of like being obsessed with tech history and that informing the culture of the company.
Yeah.
Like at Notion, they have pictures of Engelbart. Figma threw a party on a Sunday to celebrate the exact 50th anniversary of the Engelbart famous mother of all demos that was sort of like
amazing.
The beginning. I don't even know. You'd probably be able to like talk about it better than I could, but
literally this guy like demonstrated the mouse for the first time and he had an overhead that like worked with like oil and a windshield wiper to like show various makeshift, but
it's amazing. Obscure tech history.
Yeah.
And both of the CEOs of the companies we work for are like obsessed.
Yes. And I think that they also have like a lot of mutual fandom of each other, Dylan and Ivan.
Yeah.
We should do an Ivan and Dylan podcast too, I think.
I would totally.
Okay, well.
It would be dense and historical and incredible.
It would be for the tech wonks of the audience, I think.
Yeah. So let's talk. So a lot of people on the podcast are founders or they're like wanting to start a company. You've in different roles, you as a reporter, Carmel, and Camille as – I don't know how – I mean, again, you've done you,
she
so
was a reporter,
roles.
Too.
I was at the That's very
I've followed for Camille's sure, yeah. footsteps, essentially, in my life. Go on.
And now I'm following yours. Carmel is very surely going to teach me how to do this job. I'm really excited about it.
It's great. So you've both seen both sides where you get a lot of pitches. You've seen a lot of pitches from startups and companies, but then you've also been the one to craft the story and the narrative of a company. I don't know. What tips do you have for those that are like trying to figure out – how do I describe what the hell I'm building? Because I see a lot of founders and they have a hard time actually articulating what they built because they're too close to it sometimes.
Definitely.
Do you have tips around how to approach that? How to, you know, tell your story?
Yeah. The one thing that I saw a lot at first round and now I'm experiencing firsthand is that it's easy to tell a story about a company where it just sort of comes out as a collection of features where you're like, here's all the things that the product does. Whereas probably at least I have this theory that the better way to tell the story is like, here are the outcomes that your audience actually wants. And how do we emphasize those and then map the features to those as the primary points or the highest level points, as opposed to like, well, we do this and this and this, and here are all the great things. So understanding what your audience wants out of it and then letting that guide the way you tell things. That's just a theory I'm developing.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you just said, like letting your like figuring out what your audience wants to hear, because Figma is a design tool. And so the designer audience is a really specific, weird audience in terms of what they want. And when you talk about the benefits, they almost react to it as though it's bullshit. Like they're like, I don't want to hear about how you're going to like test, like, you know, improve your like ROI conversion, blah, 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 or whatever. They're like, I want to know that you have this prototyping functionality and get in the weeds on why you're different and why you're better. But I agree with you that like most other industries wouldn't be like that. And so you do sort of have to like feel out the audience. And the other thing that immediately comes to mind when you say that is that all the companies that I think of shy away from narrative tension. Like companies are afraid to admit when things are hard, or even like if they have a competitor, or if, I mean, anything that's like the obstacle that they have to overcome, they almost don't want to admit to that. But that's what makes for a really good story. And so we just pitched our fundraising. And like when I pitched it to TechCrunch, I was like, look, there's a story to be told about the design tools arms race that's happening. And a lot of companies would shy away from that because they'd be like, why do we want to highlight our competitors or point out that like a lot of people are tackling this space? But it's like, no, that's actually what makes it an inherently interesting story, because otherwise who cares about one company's fundraising? They want to know what it says about like the larger industry and trends and what are happening. And luckily, like Dylan, our CEO, is like very used to working with me at this point. And so he doesn't always let me lean into the tension, but for the most part.
I think that's a super good point. And also just it's really good about portraying the humanity of the people that actually work at the company, as opposed to like, this is just a tool, that it's compelling for people that like, there is somebody who's being thoughtful and very human behind the scenes. Like one thing that I really appreciate about Notion is that we're often in various channels being like, we're so sorry this feature is late, or, you know, this is the reason that we are taking time to do this. And I just think that that's like very respectful of the audience in a way, being like, hey, we know you've waited for this for a long time. We wanted to get it perfect for you. It wasn't easy. That kind of thing. And it makes people a little bit more attached and feel more bonded.
And like involved. We need to do more of this. In the early days of Product Hunt, we called it like build in public, or share mockups of things that we're working on. And we got a lot of good feedback, and the feedback was helpful, but also like the community just was more involved and more excited about what we were building because they felt sort of invested in it. You've done like profiles and like customers and like people that have used Figma. Is that, how do you approach those, like, I don't know, showcasing those examples, or how do you try to create a compelling story? And whereas you could say Notion uses Figma, you should use it too. Like you have to tell more of a story than that, right?
Oh my God. Well, so there's a difference between, we do more traditional customer case studies, which I don't do. Someone else manages it. We have a freelancer who does them. And like, I've been very suspicious of them. I've been like, really? Do we just need this like kitchen sink? This company just loves everything about Figma. But sales and other people inform me that we do. And I trust their opinions since I have never worked at a tech company before. But when I write a story, like the Notion Figma story, oh my God, I spend so much time on it. And maybe that's not a good use of my time, but I really try to be like, what's going to make this interesting beyond the fact that Notion uses Figma? And that requires not actually going that in depth about Notion using Figma, especially because Notion is small enough, and you can speak to this, that you guys still sort of use it in an ad hoc way. It's not like you have these huge, you know, Uber and Square have these giant systems developed for how they use Figma that like other people can learn from and need. But Notion, it's a bit more like brainstorm, ad hoc, Ivan, the CEO, just jumping in with people and riffing. And so what makes that story interesting? And ultimately what it came down to was actually like, I don't want to tell the Notion story, but I feel like Camille should tell it. But the early days when it was just Ivan and Simon.
Yes.
For a very long time. This is save the company year.
Definitely Notion. Ivan has been grinding on this for like 5 years, which is one of the reasons I decided to join the company, is that I was so taken by his grit and his vision for this thing. But yeah, him and Simon, there was a year where they really went back to the drawing board and thought about what this tool should be for everybody. You can tell the Figma participation in this story. I'm not sure I'm privy to that, but I know that it definitely played a huge role in like thinking about how the brand should look and feel, which is one of, I think, the key things about Notion that people love.
Yeah. We were just talking about the illustrations, and the each employee or teammate at Notion has their own kind of caricature, like illustration in black and white. Very iconic and smart. Like it stands out, especially on Twitter and other networks. It's a really subtle way of promoting your brand and kind of like building an identity around it that I haven't seen other companies use. Like very infrequently do you see consistent theme around like the way that the team is presented, not only on the about page, but also on social and other channels.
I love illustrations, and it doesn't fit Figma's brand at all. And it makes me really sad because I feel like it totally humanizes and gives, like, I'm a huge emoji over user, like Figma's Twitter account.
Is there such a thing as overuse?
Well, some people don't love it, but I don't like Figma's Twitter account. It's just emoji, 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 emoji. I'm like, it just makes it more interesting. But yeah, so the Figma part of that Notion story is literally like, there was a point in time we hadn't even launched to the public, and Dylan, our CEO, and was pulling stats on like the most, like the users that are like most active in Figma. And Ivan was one of them. And so he reaches out to Ivan, and he finds out that Ivan is basically spending 19 hours a day in Figma.
I believe it.
Not sleeping, essentially. Okay, sleeping like 4 hours, 3 hours maybe. And this was when like Ivan and Simon were like trying to – this is sort of one of those narrative tension moments, like save the company. Like they had built an early version on a tech stack that wasn't developed and mature enough. And this is actually what the story that I wrote wound up being about. Because it's the narrative tension, so it's what's interesting. It's not like, oh, they're using Figma. It's like, listen to this crazy story of this company that now all of Silicon Valley is like obsessed with, including me. Oh my God, I'm so obsessed with Notion. I don't know if I've told you that. It's a recent
obsession.
That
makes me so happy.
So they basically were like, okay, we're running out of money. We built it on this unstable tech stack. It's crashing all the time. We literally have to like fire everyone and go travel abroad and like fix it and rebuild it from the ground up with a different framework. And Ivan being Ivan, and Camille can speak to this, he is an intense dude. He's like, he just fucking goes, you know? It's like, you're like, this man is not messing around.
He knows what he wants to do.
Yeah, sorry.
And it will happen.
It's okay. We can curse in the podcast. Okay. We're all adults.
This is edgy. Ryan runs an edgy regime here.
I know.
I got up in front of Figma the other day to speak on something, and it turns out we have like 120 people, and I dropped the F-bomb, and I'm like,
I think it humanized you. This was narrative tension.
That's right. That's right. It was say it was intentional. It was very intentional.
This is what we're telling you guys. Our advice, drop the F-bomb as much as possible in all of your communication.
On First Round Review, whenever we would have an F-bomb in like a pull quote, that was always the one that was like all over Twitter every single time.
Of course.
Yeah. So
pro tip.
Just add the F-bomb to everything. Your homepage copy, your sales outreach.
If you take one thing out of this podcast,
we can go home now. There's nothing more you need to know. Yeah. F-bombs, drop them.
Yeah. You both are at companies that are like on the rise. They're like rocket ships. And Carmel, you joined 2 years ago, I think, when they were 30.
20. 20? I was number 20.
20 now.
Wow.
120.
Oh my God, it's so crazy.
Another thing is like, how do you decide where to join? Like, what was the decision process? Because, you know, everyone in their career changes jobs at some point, and it's the big question of, well, where do I go next? And what do I do next? And I did that pre-product hunt, you know, went through that whole process myself. And how did you decide?
Step one of the process is call your friend Ryan Hoover and be like, where should I go work? And then frantically, neurotically call him several more times. Then call your friend Camille Ricketts a couple times. Have many conversations over a 6-month period and overthink everything.
That Perfect sounds advice. Like, yeah, step by step pretty much right there. Yeah.
Just change the names a little bit. Yeah, that is definitely what I did as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You
There's
did.
A
you
certain amount of panic. Figma. Yeah, and I asked you what you thought. Yeah.
We talked about, yeah. And what did I say? I just want to get credit for this.
Yes.
What did I say?
She was like, you know, there is this company called Notion. So really,
on
she
the record,
called it.
Ladies and gents.
Yes.
On the record.
Yeah. Where's that referral bonus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But how did you, so you both took time though to figure it out? Because a lot of people jump from like one thing to the next. Were you just talking to companies, talking to people? How did you decide like what to do next? Was it the team? Was it market?
Like, you kind of go through this like conversion funnel where you're like, I'm just going to maximize activity at the top of the funnel by basically emailing anyone I know who like might have some idea for me. And then you slowly try to winnow it down. And hopefully somewhere in there, you're thinking about like, what do I actually want my whole life to look like as opposed to just my professional life? Or what are the types of personalities that I know I vibe really well with? Like those were the key questions that helped me along the way. I did try to read this book, Designing Your Life, by these Stanford professors. I took it to Bali with me. I was like, I'm going to design my life. And then I opened it and it asked all these really hard questions about like core things to my being. And I was immediately like, nope.
Too much.
That's it. I'm going to read some Stephen King.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So
that didn't really help. Didn't really factor in.
What color is your parachute? I also got like 3 chapters in and was like, I'm not ready to figure this out right now.
I don't know what color.
I think in part because I don't know about for you, but for me, like, I know that like my ultimate dream is to do some form of like creative nonfiction writing, like memoir type writing and things. And that doesn't need to be my full-time job, but it's like, that's going to be the thing where if I died tomorrow, I'd be like, 2 things. 1, damn, I didn't have a baby. I want a baby. I want a family. 2, shit, I did not do creative writing. And so I need to figure out how to carve out time for that in addition to working at Figma. And so reading all those things, it's like, well, I want to do creative writing, but also I want to afford to live in the Bay Area with all of my friends and
that's
pay
the challenge.
Off my $100,000 in college loans.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
You're going to figure it out.
I'm working towards it.
Yeah.
Figma's on a good trajectory, so you got that going.
$400K
valuation, baby. Yeah, Sequoia.
Million. Sorry, I'm not used to it.
Sequoia led the round, is that right?
Sequoia led the Series C. It's very exciting.
Nice folks to be involved with.
I've heard of them. They
passed on our Series B, so this was particularly exciting. And Dylan closed the round in like 2 weeks, so it definitely felt like a turning point in the company where it's like, okay, it's happening. But yeah, I think the way that I figured it out, aside from like frantically calling both of you and then like, I think I sent you both gifts. I like sent you pictures because I was like, I hope you know that your friendship means a lot to me and I'm not just using you to figure out what I should do with my life. And then I wound up, it was sort of what Camille said. I talked to a lot of places. I did a whole week trial at one particular company that I didn't wind up joining. And I was looking for both what is something a space that I think would actually be interesting to write about since these are the jobs that I'm interviewing for. And then, yeah, what does the culture fit feel like? And design just felt like, yeah, there's so many stories I could tell there. And when Ivan and I interviewed, which was like 2.5 years ago, long before I even interviewed at Figma, it was just him and his co-founder. And they were like in Kyoto, still figuring it out.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, okay, I had so much instability in journalism. I want a little stability.
Totally makes
sense.
So I
joined an early stage startup,
as one does.
Hopefully a little bit more stable now. When you're 120 people, it changes quite a bit probably from when you were 20.
Well, we're 90 right now.
Oh, 90. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, we'll be 133 by the end of the year, apparently.
Wow.
Allegedly.
I remember visiting you like a month after you joined there because we were like, oh, I can't wait to see you in your new digs and everything. And I was like, what are you doing? You're like, I'm writing everything. Like, there's literally not a word that has been publicly displayed about this company that I haven't been involved with.
Still probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That has not really changed.
Yeah. It was unclear to me how you were getting enough sleep. It was amazing.
Also unclear to me.
Yeah.
Backstory on this was we were desperately trying to recruit Camille. And like, I tried basically for 2 straight years. And then she went to Notion and Figma's CEO texted me like, Camille went to Notion. I'm like, I tried. I promise.
She's like, I was the one who told her to go to Notion. But other than that, I mean,
yeah,
I tried.
Does Dylan know this? Does Dylan know this?
I just want the best for you.
Yeah.
Well, because when he was like, Camille went to Notion, I was like, I told both of them that they should be teamed up and like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I called that in that voice. I talk like Donald Duck.
That's how you and Dylan excited. Converse.
Yeah.
That's great. The no-code space has matured quite a ton since I was a kid. I actually built my first website using Dreamweaver. Nowadays, you can build advanced web apps without writing code using Bubble. Bubble launched on Product Hunt back in 2015. Now, more than 250,000 makers and companies have used Bubble to build marketplaces, social networks, CRMs, and more inside their browser. Check it out at bubble.is/producthunt to get started for free. Switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about products.
Yeah.
Products that you love. We talked about TikTok a little bit, Carmel.
Oh.
And you published your first TikTok, yesterday or this week?
I am so embarrassed with how obsessed I am with this app for basically 16-year-old cosplayers.
It's great.
I don't know what's
actually
wrong with
describe TikTok for those that don't know.
Okay. For those that don't know, this is like the next Instagram, Snapchat, whatever.
It's like Vine. It's the most
so
similar
like
to Vine from 100%. Back in the day. Yeah.
It definitely took a bunch of like the Vine stars when Vine shut down. And it's like they've just moved to TikTok. And most people think of it as just like, oh, that's the app where like teenagers lip sync because that's like the ads that they always run. And there is plenty of that. But it's essentially like it's almost like an app built for the internet meme era of 2019 where it's these 15-second audio clips and it can be everything from like a monologue that's kind of really dramatic or just a really catchy hook of a song. And then people record, yes, there's plenty of like lip syncing, but they'll record videos to it. And it turns out like if you set music to pretty much any video, if it's the right music and the right video, it's freaking hilarious. And so I opened it at like 10 p.m. on a Sunday night in the middle of like the Figma fundraising stuff when like I really needed to be getting my sleep. And I could not stop watching. I went to bed at 3 a.m. that night.
Oh my.
But so far, I mean, I'm obsessed. As Ryan knows, I like a week ago publicly on Twitter was like, I shall never make a TikTok. Like I'll just consume the content of the teenagers. And then now,
they
like 1 week later, they got me. I'm like brainstorming all my future TikToks. And it's just me and a bunch of 16-year-olds, which feels like a little weird. And nobody that I talk to TikTok about, except you, Ryan, is like likes it as much as I like.
Oh, it's so good though. Have you been playing with it, Camille?
I've seen it, yeah. I'm in the consuming content phase, but probably I'll get to where you are.
That makes me feel so much better that you're just on it.
Yeah.
Like I made my dad download it.
I mean, your dad is a star on TikTok.
He is.
Like,
he doesn't
he's not
know
just a user.
I haven't told him that he's on TikTok. He doesn't know.
Basically, set anything to the final countdown and you've got a winner on TikTok. That's the lesson here.
Yes.
So true. So true.
What I love about TikTok is there are these themes and memes that kind of accrue and then people start riffing off each other. And so it'll be a certain type of song will inspire a certain type of action or certain type of behavior. And it starts to become almost like a punchline. Like the music becomes the punchline.
And I think it was Eric Fang on the podcast maybe a month or two ago. He described it as is TikTok in some ways is like paint by numbers in the sense that the music creates this
constraints. The framework.
Yes, exactly. So for instead creative. Of just a 6-second like Vine in the beginning was didn't have music. That wasn't like the core focus. It was just like 6-second videos and that was constrained and that was nice. But for a lot of people, it's like, well, what do I do for 6 seconds? I don't know. Whereas with this, you see a kid do a thing with this song. And you're like, I want to do the thing that kid does too. And then like literally tens of thousands of people do the same freaking thing.
Yeah. Except that they all evolve it. So it feels like collaborative, spontaneous creativity with strangers, which is part of what I love about it. It's like theater. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of another app that's quite like that. And I say, and you know, I'll try not to talk too much about TikTok because we got to get to Camille's favorite app. But I will say that the trajectory that I love on TikTok is – humans do something, like maybe they do a dance move or maybe whatever. The humans do some meme to some particular clip of audio. And then it very quickly devolves on TikTok where then it's like pets are doing the meme, which is always a fun turn. And then you know that something is almost played out when it turns into like inanimate objects doing the meme.
Yes,
and
yes.
So there was one where it was like, I think it was Soulja Boy, where people would be like slowly getting ready to Soulja Boy, like kind of putting something on their face and stuff. And then they would make a facial expression. And just as like the beat drops, they flash into like a screenshot of like a scene from a movie where they look exactly like the character or some or a cartoon or whatever. And
or it got, inanimate object sometimes, like a paperclip.
Well, that was the evolution. So first yes. they were movies and TV shows. Then it was like pets turning into like scenes from movies. And then it was like in it, like someone would be like putting their ponytail really up high and crazy. And you'd be like, okay, what's coming? Because I know there's going to be a drop where she looks like something, but who could she look like? And then it's like she's like a toilet plunger or something.
Yeah. Nice.
So
I feel like this is like really indicative of human culture and the way that it's tracking. And you have your finger on the pulse.
Figma should have a TikTok strategy. Is Figma on TikTok yet?
Figma's not on TikTok
yet. We should figure it out.
They banned GIFs in our Slack, so I don't know whether they'd be.
Because it was too much fun.
I feel like designers are like a very like, they're like classy, you know? They're just like, you know, they like aesthetics. And like TikTok is just like chaos. So
yeah.
Don't know if it's true. Fits the Figma.
There's something where you could make lowbrow the new highbrow. I don't know.
I just need to start a design trend is what you're telling me.
Just start a viral design trend. Go forth and do it.
I run our blog. I have the power. I could make
She's got
happen.
The words.
Yeah. Be like, this is how we're going to express ourselves from now on.
Only TikToks. Yeah. All of our product announcements, TikToks. You didn't understand it? Too bad. You're clearly not with it.
Next fundraising announcement, TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
You have to get the Sequoia people to be in the TikTok.
I feel like they'd be down. First round is the one with the we had.
That's true.
We had Kleiner wrote a poem about us. Bing Gordon wrote a poem about Figma Series C. So I feel like the VCs
That's
are
passion.
Down with like little creates have been a little edgy.
The first round the first round videos have been iconic. But you didn't do this well.
The
I think
Christmas
you may have left actually.
It's the holiday video.
Yeah, the holiday video.
And I left right after we did our last one, which was kind of like a celebration of 10 years of us doing this type of thing. But yeah, it was such a cool thing the first round did to be like, we're human beings that really love to have fun. And what I love about that is that most of the lyrics are actually written by Josh Koppelman, which maybe.
Oh my God, what?
He feels
that makes
really,
it 20 times even better.
He has like an unnatural talent for writing song lyrics. And it's amazing. I feel he doesn't get to utilize that often enough in just the general course of his.
Does he ever come to you and be like, what rhymes with bananas?
Oh, man. I feel like he doesn't
VC
even need
related.
My help.
Yeah.
That's VC related.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, shmanana?
Yeah, no, very impressed with just like the versatility of talents at that place.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what app or product are you loving right now?
So now I'm going to sound all unfun compared to like TikTok and like all of this and pets and inanimate objects acting things out.
I think it's going to make my life better. Sell me. Pitch me. I want to hear it.
I'm going to recommend an app that's going to change your life from a professional standpoint. It's called Superhuman, and it's become like the other half of my life with Notion. Shout out to Rahul Vora, who is the CEO and founder there. He's one of my favorite people. And they've just decided to make email more delightful and more beautiful and faster than it's ever been before in human history. And it's completely changed my life. And so I keep even like this email was sent with Superhuman in my email signature, which I've never done before in my life because I want more people to know about it. So Yeah, not
why
quite
is
as
it
fun.
So good? Like, what about, because my email, I was telling Camille and Ryan before we started this podcast that, like, I just don't open my email. That's my approach to email management. I have not answered emails in like 3 months. Why is this helpful?
I think because, like, something about the design tricks you into feeling like it's not that overwhelming. Like, it's spacious and, like, you're like, oh, this font that's been, like, designed just for this product is so great. I don't know. It just, and, like, when you send one email, the next one pops right up. You don't even have to, like, go and click into something else. They've just thought through a lot of those interactions that make it, like, really seamless, to the extent that I had to set my vacation autoresponder like a couple weeks ago, and I had to go back into Gmail to do it, and I was just like, ugh, yeah. I can't, like, my eyes. And so I had to send them feedback being like, you got to get on this vacation autoresponder thing.
This is how little I am good or pay attention to my email. I took this week off, as Camille and Ryan know, and on the car ride over here, when I was looking for the information for how to get here, I realized that all these important emails had come in, and I realized I had not set a week away. I'm sounding like really irresponsible right now. I swear I'm good at things that makes Figma want to keep me, but email is not one of them.
No, it's distracting you away from thinking about storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need focus.
Right.
Except for TikTok, which is the opposite of focus.
You can't exert all this writing muscle on email.
Well, TikTok is your inspiration, I'm sure. There's going to be some TikTok, I think, inspiration in your next, like, pieces, I'm sure.
I think I need to write about it, honestly, because I haven't had this explosion of creativity where just so many thoughts and analysis, like, back when I was a tech reporter and that was my job, I've been, like, consumed. I'm, like, writing things in my notes app, everything I notice and think about and love about it. But disclosure, I feel like your audience needs a disclosure. It did get bought by, like, some Chinese company. So, like, if you're on it, the Chinese government probably knows a lot of things about you, like you really like dabbing.
Maybe. Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're concerned about that.
They acquired Musical.ly for around $1 billion roughly. And yeah, the history of kind of TikTok is interesting. And ByteDance is the, I believe, the most valuable private company right now, pre-IPO company.
Oh.
Startup in tech right now with $70-something billion. So they're a machine.
Yeah. There's a whole quickly. Group of people where they're like, figure out how to use this data. And they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I just wonder if, like, the Chinese social censorship thing that they introduced where you can get, like, downgraded points of, like, it's like people are, like, rating each other's TikToks and the government's just, like, putting it in, like, well, this person's not very good at TikTok. So,
yeah,
like,
only 4 likes. Yeah.
No, yeah, it's going to be a Black Mirror episode where it's like, you need over 70 likes to even stand in this line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Probably is a Black Mirror episode.
Well, so some people are, you know, it's a friend. She's up to 50,000 followers on TikTok already in the course of 3, 4, or 5 months, maybe.
Make her follow and, me. I yeah, promise I'll
I will. I'll send
content.
You. Her name is Jessica. I'll send her TikTok handle to you later. Yeah. But she just has been like, she acts as well. So she's like, we're just naturally really good
yeah.
at it. And I need to step my game up. I've only created a couple TikToks. Not that good.
But it's you and Susie being adorable.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Susie, my girlfriend, we've done a couple of them, but we need to step our game up. We need to compete with Jessica because she's killing us right now.
I feel like you have an inherent audience. Like, you could become famous on TikTok so fast just by, like, I'll help you make funny TikToks, and then you can just tweet them, and then you'll be famous on TikTok.
Let's figure out, like, a tech angle and some sort of tech, something that'll appeal
to
you.
You need a brand.
Yeah.
I'm anti-brand for my TikTok because I don't want to be constrained right now. I just have so many ideas. Camille and I could go forever.
This is your launch pad for, like, a TikTok consultancy, the first TikTok consultancy. You heard it here first.
That's right.
Yes, hire me.
We will
hire me.
I'll put Carmel's TikTok handle in the show notes, so check it out.
Oh
online.
My God, really?
Yeah.
I love you so much. Yeah. I literally do have a note that's like what makes for a good TikTok and what makes for good TikTok comments. And it's like I write down like TikTok.
You need to publish this.
I write down like thematic like commonalities that I see among TikToks that are like really good. Then like followed by like examples of TikToks that do. Anyways,
you could do like a whole annual report of data on this.
I like that.
This is content marketing genius. This is what you wanted from this podcast.
This is good. This is good. All right. So where can they find you on the internet other than TikTok? Anything you want to plug coming up at Notion, at Figma?
I'm at Carmel. CARMELDEA on Twitter. I will be publishing soon, hopefully, some kind of guidance to like pitching reporters for startups because I do think that nobody knows how to do it. And our friend John Howard basically like mined my brain for information. So
oh, brilliant.
I'm hoping I'll publish something like that soon. And I don't, my TikTok handle, I think it's the same as my Twitter handle. But I think I'm going to change it in 30 days to at Miss Pickeroon, which is my eighth grade AIM handle, MISSPICAROON. So check me out. You won't forget it.
This is really exciting that I get to be on this podcast with you pre-fame. She's like on the come up and I am excited about it.
Yes, plug in it.
I'm on Twitter at Camille Ricketts, and Notion just has like a lot of cool stuff in the works. This is going to be a big year for us, so I'm excited about it.
Nice.
Keep your eyes peeled.
I forgot to plug Figma. I was so excited about TikTok. Figma also has cool stuff, but we just had all of our big news, so nothing comes to mind right
now. Nothing.
It's extremely cool.
Our platform, that'll be next. Our extensions. People will be really pumped about that.
Nice. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for – this is fun. I feel like we need to do like another episode of just us, like the Camille and Carmel episode and podcast
series. Camille Carmel show.
Yeah. We'll work on like some sort of TikTok campaign to drive distribution.
Oh, yeah.
I'll start writing a theme song and a dance choreography. I don't know. We'll see.
But I'm excited.
Nice. All right. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, share the podcast with your friends on Twitter and tag a guest you'd like to hear in a future episode. See you soon.